Well, I'm glad that you each have a Bible in your hand. This message this morning will be at least 16 passages of Scripture, so hopefully you can follow along and have your Bibles ready. Also, many of those Scriptures will be up on the screen today for you. But I want to begin by sharing my story. First, I would be remiss if I didn't say Happy New Year to my wife, so she should stand, and you can recognize her, Terry. She will be back at the table, our supply table, between the services. And so I grew up in Colorado Springs. This is about 46 years ago. 46 years ago, almost to the day. It was January 24th, 1971. I was 15 years old. I was out with a friend. We were going to do a little joyride outside of Colorado Springs. And the problem was we were 15, and neither one of us knew how to drive. So we took his dad's car. And the reason we could take his dad's car, because his dad was never home. And the reason his dad was never home was because he was serving in Vietnam. And so we took the car. We're going out to east of Colorado Springs. We're flying down this dirt road. It's 60 miles an hour. And he loses control of the car. He doesn't know what to do. We're fishtailing. The car's out of control. So he spins the wheel, and off we go. The next thing I remember as I'm sitting on the dirt road, and I'm looking at the car. The roof is crushed in. The wheels are tucked under. The car is totaled. And then I'm thinking about me. Am I okay? Am I broken? And I did like you would do. I'd start patting myself down. Am I all right? Am I bleeding everywhere? Am I broken? Am I going to make it? And I was able to stand up. And so the sheriff comes to draw up the accident. And he says to us, "It's a miracle you guys are alive." I got home that night after all the stuff you go through on a day like that. My mother said to me, "You ought to get down on your knees and thank God you're alive." And so, of course, as a 15-year-old boy, I always did what my mother said. But this time I did. I thought about it. Teenagers die in car accidents. I was a passenger in the car. I had no control over the events of the day. And I could have, probably should have been dead that day. And I thought about God, and I thought, why? You saved my life. You must have saved it for some reason. You've shown me you can take my life any day. Any day from now on, you could take my life because you could have took it today. So you must have saved my life for a reason. So for whatever reason that is, I'm going to find it, and I'm going to live for you. And so that was my commitment. That was my born-again moment. That was my commitment to the Lord, whatever we want to call it. And then I heard a voice. I heard a voice say, "There's a Bible on your bookshelf. Get it down and read it." Now, I must have heard something because I was laying on the bed and I got up and I went over to my bookshelf and I pulled the Bible down. And like any other book, I opened it to the first page and I read Genesis chapter 1. And the next day I read Genesis chapter 2, and the next day I read Genesis chapter 3, and a chapter a day, I finished the Bible in 3.5 years. And then I started over because I thought that's what Christians do, is read their Bibles. Now, I fast forward my story 30 years. I've had a career at the state capitol on the legislative staff. Then after that, I worked for the Colorado Association of Commerce and Industry. I was a lobbyist for the business community. Then I worked for a consulting firm in the Denver Tech Center. And in 2002, I heard from the Lord again. I think He said to me, "Okay, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go out and convict the body of Christ about my word and encourage the body of Christ to get back to my word." Okay, I'm a business guy. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. And I'm saying, like often we do, me? Why do I need to do this? So that's the ministry we started in 2002 called the Ezra Project, connecting God's people to God's word. And so this morning, I have that opportunity to do two things with you. One, convict us about the Word of God. And secondly, to encourage us about and in the Word of God. So my number one concern in the church today, and I have opportunity to speak in every denomination, in all kinds of sizes of churches, all over the country, and I see it everywhere I go. My number one concern in the church today is the neglect or the indifference of the Bible among Christians. Woodrow Kroll, how many of you remember him, former president of Back to the Bible, said it this way. He said, "The Bible has survived the attacks of its critics, but is struggling to survive the neglect of its friends." Lifeway Research and Charisma Magazine, Ed Stetzler, wrote an article that went like this. "When it comes to our nation understanding the Bible, we're moving from dumb to dumber, and it's no laughing matter. Non-Christians don't even have the general idea of the Bible they once did. Christians are not seeing the life change that real Bible engagement brings. The result is a nation in spiritual freefall. We are living in a post-biblically literate culture. We have a Bible literacy deficit, in part because we have a spiritual maturity deficit. Plenty of research shows the correlation between spiritual maturity and reading the Bible. You simply won't grow if you don't know God and spend time in His Word." And then you'll see the statistics. Among people who go to church, us, those people, the 10% of us that go to church on a Sunday morning, here's what it's like. 19% read the Bible every day. 26% a few times a week. 14% once a week. 22% at least once a month. And 18% of those who sit in churches rarely or never read the Bible. If you look at those and combine some of the numbers, only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. Amazing, isn't it? 18%, or one out of every five people that go to church, say they never read the Bible. Is it a surprise to us? 2 Timothy chapter 4. You might want to look that up. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 5. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 5. 3 through 5. And it's up on the screen. "Say this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Maybe it's not a surprise. Maybe that passage written many, many years ago is us today. Okay, so that's the conviction part. You feel convicted? Some of us maybe feel more convicted than others. So let's go to the encouragement side of the message. That's way more fun, right? And my text for the morning message is in Psalms 19. Turn to Psalm 19, chapter 19, verse 7. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. Say this, the word of the Lord. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward." And then if you flip back a little bit to Psalm 119, verse 103, the theme verse really for this message this morning. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Just think about it. God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, gave us His word. He didn't have to do that, did he? But he did. He gave us a love letter, a gift to all of us. And David describes it in these passages as perfect, sure, wise, right, pure, clean, true, righteous, more to be desired than gold. How much time do we spend desiring gold? Financial goals, financial aspects of our lives, paying the bills, taking care of our households. We're supposed to desire the word more than that. More to be desired than gold and sweeter than honey to our mouths. In keeping the word of God, there is great reward. So the first question might be why? Why read the Bible in 2017? And so rather than me give you some reasons, which won't mean much, let's look at the word of God and say, is there some guidelines in the word of God about why I should spend time in scripture each day in this new upcoming year? And let's start with these very familiar passages to most of you. John 1:1. Why read the Bible? Well, it's God's word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And we know a few verses later, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and we just celebrated that. So the word is Jesus, and the word is the word of God. And so that should be reason enough, right? If we believe that this is the word of God, then we would want to spend time in it each and every day. Amen? One reason enough, I hope, would be convincing to you to make a commitment to spend time in God's word each day in 2017, but I'm going to give you a few more. And hopefully the cumulative impact will be, yes, I can do this. Secondly, God told you to. Now, did God really tell us to read the Bible daily? Well, let's look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, what? Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I think all of us would have a New Year's resolution in 2017 that we would want to have good success, right? We want to have good success, and God just gives us the formula. He said, meditate on his word day and night, and through that, we can have good success. And then Acts 17:11 tells us about a people who did just this. They looked at the word daily. These Acts 17:11 and 12 say these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. These are the Bereans, of course. And that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures when? Daily, to find out whether these things were so. So God is instructing us to spend time in his word. I think it's regularly, it's daily. Let's look at another reason. Psalm 138:2. God thinks his word is pretty important. Look at this verse. For you have magnified your word above all your name. When my pastor shared that the first time, I thought that can't be. That can't be in the Bible, that his word would be above his name, the holy names of God. And so I also get to do some TV and radio from time to time. And I was doing a session with the pastor, and he opened the television show with that verse. And he said, when he read it, he felt the same way that I did. He said, that's hard to believe, that God would put his word above his name. And he's a pastor for 17 years. He said, I prayed about that. The fastest answer I ever got from the Lord. When I prayed about that, when the Lord said to me, if my word is no good, my name is no good. He puts his word above his name. So I hope for any of those reasons, any one or all of them together, that we would say, yes, I should spend time in 2017 each day in God's word. And yet, the number one reason that Christians don't read the Bible is what? We're too busy, right? Life is too busy for me to spend time in God's word. I don't know how that's going to go when you get to the pearly gates and God says, how'd you like my book? And you say, you had a book? I was pretty busy. I really didn't have time. I hope that none of us use that excuse when we get to heaven. So my hope this morning is to make God's word so appealing, sweeter than honey, that you will want to make time to eat spiritually every day in 2017. Now, sweeter than honey. David described the word as sweeter than honey. So what about honey? Let's look at honey for a minute. And Albert Barnes was a pastor in the mid-1800s, and he wrote a commentary, and he included some aspects about honey that I think you'll enjoy. He wrote, "Honey was the sweetest of all substances and regarded as an article of luxury. The truth of God, as revealed, affords more pleasure to the soul than that which is esteemed as the highest luxury to the palate. It is loved, it is pleasant, it is agreeable. It is not regarded merely as necessary, as medicine is, but it is received into the soul because it is delighted in, or is more agreeable and pleasant than the most luscious article of food to the taste." We just went through Christmas. You had all those wonderful Christmas snacks. Probably have a few left over. If you could put the most luscious thing in your mouth right now, what would it be? And you're all thinking of something different, right? Some of those Christmas treats, or maybe your favorite candy bar, your favorite donut, whatever it is, what would be the most luscious thing in your mouth? Whatever that is, that's what the Word of God is to your soul. It's the sweetest thing that you can feed your soul each and every day. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So as honey is to our mouths, so God's word can be to our souls. So I want to give you four ways to read and enjoy God's word in 2017. All right, four ways. First, if busyness is the reason that we don't spend time in God's word, we got to tackle the busyness issue, okay? So the first thing we have to do to enjoy God's word this year is to make time for Bible reading. And Psalm 55:17 tells us this, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." So how many of you are morning people? How many of you are night owls? How many of you are neither? See, we have to decide when is the best time for us to read the Bible. When I started at 15, I read at night. When I got home, I read the last thing I did before I went to sleep. And as a teenager, you know, I never knew when that happened. I didn't know how late I would be out. I didn't know what condition I would be in when I came home. I didn't know. I'd be tired. But that's how I started reading the Bible, was every night. When I got to college, I got in a Bible study with some guys, and they said, maybe you ought to change that to first fruits. Try doing that in the morning. So I did, and it began to work out way better for me. So I'm a morning Bible reader. If I have to be at DIA for a 7 a.m. flight, I know what time it takes for me to get up, to read my Bible, get ready, get to DIA. I can handle that way better than I can handle the end of the day. For me, that's how it is for me. So decide this morning, what is the best time for you? Is it going to be morning? Is it going to be evening? Or I have a friend in California who decided he would read every day at noon because that was the best time for him. So today, make a decision. When is the best time for you to read God's word and spend time in prayer? Secondly, consider tithing your free time. We have 24 hours in the day, right? So let's take out this time we sleep and the time we work. So we'll remove about 18 hours. That gives us all about 6 hours a day of free time, discretionary time. 6 hours is 360 minutes. So if we tithe 10% of those, that would be about 36 minutes a day. Round it off to 30. Can we give God a half an hour a day in 2017? Is our highest priority worth 30 minutes of our day? Now, I want you to know too, if you figured out 30 minutes a day is only like 2% of your day of 24 hours. So can we give God that much this year? 30 minutes a day. I hope that that would be something you can do. We can drop the excuse of no time in 2017. Secondly, let's read to be transformed, not informed. Hebrews 4:12, one of those great scriptural passages about the Bible. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, sometimes when we read these familiar verses, they just go right over our heads. So let's stop and think about that one for a minute. What does that really mean? That the word of God can go between my soul and my spirit. Where is that in my human psyche? I don't know. But the Word of God will go there. It says it will go there. And I want to put it there every day of my life. What about between the thoughts and intents of my heart? Where is that place? I don't know where that is either. But that verse tells me the Word of God will go there. And I want to put the Word of God between the thoughts and intents of my heart every day. Because Jeremiah already told me my heart was desperately wicked. And I want something between my heart and my day. And that's the Word of God. So let's read to be transformed, not informed, in 2017. Number three, let's apply God's word to our daily lives. We don't just do this because we should. We don't just do it because it's a habit. We do it because it matters in how we live our lives. James 1, 22 through 25 tell us this. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And so we have to not just read the scriptures, we have to apply the scriptures in our daily lives. So let me give you some examples of this. It was about 5 years ago. It was December 28th, 2011, when I got the worst news of my life. I was home, I got a phone call that said I had prostate cancer. Okay, the C word. Now, my sister had cancer, my mother-in-law had cancer, and I was concerned for those and those that I hear have cancer. But now it's me. It's totally different, isn't it? When it's you and the C word. And so what happens next is you get a bone scan and a CAT scan to find out how bad it is or did it spread out of your prostate. And that's scheduled for a week out. That's a hard week between the diagnosis and those tests to find out what condition you're in. And you can't help but think about life and death. Is this it? Is this the end? What's going to happen to me? I remember when I got the call. Afterwards, I got down on my knees and I said to the Lord, I don't know where we're going. I don't know what's happening, but I know this. I'm in the same place I was yesterday. And that's in the palm of your hand. And so I didn't choose to read Psalms because now I was in trouble. This was my daily reading for that week. Let me just read some of the passages as I'm in that mode of wondering what's going to happen to me in a week before these tests happen. I said that was December 28th. This is January 1st. I read Psalm 3:3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. And then I read Psalm 6, verses 2 and 4. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. Okay, I'm going to get a bone scan. My bones are troubled. Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. January 3rd, 2 days before the bone scan and the CT scan, Psalm 17, 3. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. Before the test. January 8th, after the test found nothing, after that test found that nothing had spread. Psalm 42, 2 through 4. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restored him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me. You can't get text any more clearly than those messages from the Word of God in the biggest crisis that I'm in my life. That's what God can do for all of us if we're spending time in his Word. He knows what's coming in our lives. I don't know. He knows. And there I was reading exactly what he needed to communicate with me to keep me encouraged in that very difficult week. I read the Word of God because it's applicable to my life. Now, there's an interesting statistic, a lot of research about Bible reading. This one you might find interesting. If you read just about 3 days a week, most Christians are never transformed by the Word. You need to read at least 4 times. Now, that's not an excuse to only read 4 times, but 4 times seems to be the magic number when transformation begins to occur by Bible reading. So commit daily to the scriptures this year. Lastly, number four, how to enjoy God's word in 2017? Journal. Now that's a weird one, right? Well, look at Jeremiah 30, verse 2. Write it in a book for yourself, all the words that I have spoken to you. Now, I strongly encourage Bible journaling. Why? Because I believe it will change the way you read the Bible. Just think about it. You've read the scripture, you go off, you can't remember what you read. Maybe it doesn't sink in very much. But if you know when you read the Bible that you're going to write something down afterwards and say, what did that mean to me? What was the most important thing God spoke to my heart? What was my favorite verse? Whatever you want to do, it will change the way you read the scriptures. So I encourage you in 2017 to try something new. Try journaling your Bible reading. And so back at the table, we have gifts. How many of you got one of these last year? Yeah, many of you. And so you probably need a new one because you filled it all up. Yeah. So we got another one for you. So we got a different one. This is the Trio Journal. This is chronological. Read the Bible chronologically. Read the Bible this way. I'm going to go over those in a minute. But I have journaled my Bible reading for over 30 years each day. And that's why I could know those passages that I read in Psalms, because I could go back to my journal and look at them. So I encourage you to think about doing something different this year, and that's journal your Bible reading. Now, if you go home and watch the football games this afternoon, and somebody says, oh, how was church today? And you said, oh, this guy came and told me to read my Bible. Nothing much is going to happen. There won't be any changes for you this year, unless you have a plan. So I want to give you some ideas of how to read the Bible this year. And I'm going to give you 10 methods. They're all going to be up here. So you can look at them. And as I go through them, I hope the Holy Spirit will touch your heart. And you will say, that's the one for me. It might be different for all of us. But there's going to be some method up here that maybe you've never tried. And you'll say, that's what I'm going to do in 2017. So let's look at 10 ways to read the Bible this year. Your plan for 2017. First, like I did when I was 15, just start at the beginning and read to the end. Like any other book, beginning to end. And if you do that a chapter a day, like I said, you won't have to worry about your Bible reading for 3.5 years. So that might be a good way. And a chapter a day, maybe 5 minutes. 5 minutes of Bible reading. Two, daily Bible reading calendars or daily devotions. You have daily bread out on the table out there. There's pamphlets like that that you can get if that's the way you want to go and do it. So there's devotions that you can find online or in bookstores, and that's a way to do it. Number three, a one-year Bible. How many of you ever used a one-year Bible? Yeah, many of you. And that's a Bible that's divided up into 365 sections each day of the year. And it has some Old Testament in it, some New Testament in it, Psalms, Proverbs. And you read that, you're going to read the whole Bible in a year. Now, just for you that maybe have never done that, and I don't remember what the statistics are, but it's really high that a lot of Christians have never read the whole counsel of God. We pick and choose, don't we? The ones we like, the sections we're familiar with. But what about reading the whole Bible this year? If you choose to do that, for most of us, average, it'll take you about 20 minutes a day of Bible reading to read the whole Bible in 2017. So a one-year Bible. Number four, read the Bible chronologically. This Bible is not in the order of things that happened, but you can read the Bible in a chronological order. You don't have to go out and buy a new chronological Bible to do that, because that's what this one is. This has a chronological Bible reading plan in it. So if that excites you, and it's a great way to read the scriptures, it was an aha experience for me when I did that, that this prophet was alive when this was going on, and this psalm related to that situation, a great way to read the scriptures. Then there's a journal. If you don't want a journal, the schedule is there for you to read the Bible chronologically in 2017. Number five, read a book at a time. Okay, this might be a way that you would like. Just pick a book and read it. When you're finished with that one, pick another one. When you're finished with that one, pick another one. And in these journals, there's trackers. So you can just track the books that you've read, when you started, when you finished, and you'll know when you get through. Now, you may have to cheat and look at the table of contents from time to time, because Obadiah might not come to mind, or Nahum or something like that. But there are books that are worth reading. So a book at a time is a good way to read, selecting Old and New Testaments as you go. Number six, a book a month. Just pick 12 books this year and stay in that book the whole month. And if it's a small book like Galatians or Ephesians, then read it over and over and over the whole month. till the Word of God just sinks in you. If it's a book with 50 chapters, then you'll have to decide how many chapters you need to read a day. But that's a great way for maybe beginners to read. Just pick 12 books and read those 12 books this year. Some Old Testament, some New Testament. And when I did it that way, I started with Psalm 119. Why would I do that? Longest chapter in the Bible. You can spend a whole month in Psalm 119. So that may be a way to do it. A book a month. Number 7, just read the New Testament this year. And if you want to do that, this is the journal for you because it has a New Testament passage every day. Number 8 is read the Old Testament this year. And if you want to do that, this is the journal for you because it has an Old Testament passage every day. Or if you want to read both, you can read the Bible, the whole Bible, using this. Some people get bogged down in the Old Testament, so you can read some New Testament with it and keep you going this year. Number 9, let it fall open. How many of you tried this method? Just take your Bible, put it down, point, and watch out. See what God's going to say to you. Well, there was a story I heard about somebody that did that. Went to his pastor. His life was a mess, getting divorced. He was financially a ruin. Everything was a problem. His pastor, probably like Pastor Love would say, why don't you try reading your Bible? So he went off. Months went by. He sees the guy. The pastor sees the guy getting out of a brand new car, nice suit. Everything looks good. Pastor walks up to him and says, hey, how's it going? He says, great, everything's fine. He said, what happened? He said, I did what you said. I read the Bible. I said, really, what did you read? He said, well, I opened it up. I pointed. I hit chapter 11, so I filed bankruptcy. Not quite what we're looking for, but... So watch out if you try that method. If you go to bed every night in 2017, you haven't read your Bible at all, at least do that. Open it up, point, and watch out what God might say to you. And then number 10, study the Word of God. Read the Bible. Now, the Bible's, if I took all the stuff out of here that's not the Bible, this would probably be about that thick. There's commentaries, there's chapter heads, there's references, there's all kinds of things in here. And I believe in studying the Word of God, absolutely. But I think it's Johnny Cash who got credited with saying, the Bible sure does throw a lot of light on those commentaries. So we can spend so much time reading about the Bible that we forget to spend time in the Bible. A lot of Christian books, a lot of Christian authors out there. I like it. I do it. But don't let that substitute for time in the Word of God in 2017. And one more. Lastly, add Bible. If you struggle with time, this is your big hurdle. Then we have a new product for you this year from the Ezra Project, and we're going to put it in your earbuds. So it starts today, January 1, John chapter 1. You can download this on iTunes, Google Play, go to our website, and go with us this year through 10 books of the New Testament, 10 books of the Old, listening to the Word of God. You can do that when you're walking the dog, when you're exercising, when you're driving to work, whatever. If time is an issue, you might want to try Add Bible in 2017. That stands for Audio Daily Devotion, and there's some cards out at the table that you can get and start today. So those are methods. I hope the Lord touched your heart, and you now have a way. You have your way to read the Bible in 2017. Let's finish with this, a covenant. Covenants are biblical. And let's read about a guy, a young person who confronted God's word and see what he did. And hopefully we can make a similar commitment for our year, this year coming up. It's 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 3 and 4. And it's the story of the boy King Josiah. The scriptures had been lost and they were going through the temple, through the rubble, and they found a copy of God's word, the law. And verses 3 and 4 record Josiah's response. 2 Kings 23, 3 and 4. Say, then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. You see, Josiah, when he heard the word for the very first time, he understood that he was hearing God's word. He understood the value of meditating in it day and night. He knew what he heard was special, maybe even above the name of God he could not even utter, Yahweh. He made time for God's word. He allowed it to transform him, and he decided to apply it to his daily life. And when he did, all the people around him saw the king take a stand, and they made the same covenant. Now, I said last night, Pastor Dave Love, that I've never asked. I assume that you're a daily Bible reader, but I've never asked. So, and I won't ask. Ask. Dave, are you a daily Bible reader?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so see, he's your king. He's your Josiah, and he's making a stand in 2017. I bet he doesn't miss a day this year in reading the word. Now, what would it be like if Calvary Castle Rock stood with its leader and all of you took the same covenant, the same position, and this whole church read the Bible every day this year? What do you think would happen in this church? What do you think would happen in Castle Rock? What do you think would happen in Colorado? What do you think if all the Christians in every church in America decided to read the Bible every day this year? Would things change? I would think so. And so can we make a covenant? Can we make a stand with our Josiah to say, he's going to do it, I can do that too.